Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by Miami Grill. For over 30 years, Miami Grill has brought you big favorites from big cities, featuring authentic ingredients prepared fresh to order with the best cheesesteaks, wings, gyros, burgers, and more. Don't just bring dinner home, bring home Miami. Order online or in person. Pickup, drive-thru, dine-in, and delivery available at all locations. If you're craving it, they're making it. Bringing Miami Grill home has never been easier. With locations all over South Florida, check MyMiamiGrill.com to find yours. That's MyMiamiGrill.com to find Miami Grill. While we're in the middle of this booming real estate market of South Florida, you may be looking to purchase a new house or refinance your current one. You can make sure that you have an attorney-owned title company handle your contract and close for the low price of $295. Reach out to our good friend Seltzer Mayberg. Give them a call at 305-444-1565 and mention 5 Reasons Sports in order to get that $295 closing fee on all purchases and refinances. So go ahead and purchase or refinance that house knowing that you'll have an attorney reviewing and handling your closing for $295 when you mention 5 Reasons Sports. You can also visit their website at onecalllegal.com where they'll be able to assist you with any of your legal needs, whether it's a divorce or a car accident or slip and fall. Everything is in-house and they're ready to help you with whatever you may need an attorney for. That is 305-444-1565, Seltzer Mayberg. Let me introduce you to another sponsor, BestEver.com. That is BSTEVR.com. BestEver.com is a fantasy sports simulator that uses real-life data to simulate hypothetical situations. For example, ever wondered if Dan Marino could win a Super Bowl with a top 10 running game? We all have. You can do that with BestEver.com. Let's say the Dolphins are in the running for a big free agent. Just add him to the current team and simulate games to see how it can turn out. Just open a free account and start building your own story and have BestEver.com spit out game stories just for you. BestEver is not only fun to use, but has many uses beyond just curiosity. Go to BestEver.com. That's BSTEVR.com.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here, and we are brought to you by Biscayne Bay Brewing, the official beer of 5 Reasons Sports Network. And, of course, Manscaped. Use 5RSN, 20% off. Go get that draft guide. We will provide the links. Simon, $4.12. Anything else you want to add to that?
It's the best money you'll ever spend.
Absolutely. And we'll provide the links on the 3 Yards Per Carry account. It's a pre-order right now, okay? So stop asking me when it's going to get downloaded.
Comes the 19th. Out the 19th of April.
19th it comes out. So if you get it right now, it's a pre-order. $4.12. Like really, you know, $4.12.
Well, £3 if you're listening in the UK.
It's less than a Starbucks coffee. Okay? It really is. All right, in some places, it's less than a Danish.
It's 87,245 words.
And 200, how many pages? 250? 250 prospects.
It's 145 pages. It's 87,245 words, and it's about 290 prospects.
And it's about 21,000 words per dollar.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, $4.12. Like, you know, come on. You know, I'll provide the links all the time. At least once a day, I'll provide the link on 3 Yards Per Carry Twitter account. All right, defensive backs. Now, I think this is a sleeper. Okay, because I think it's a distinct possibility that one of these guys, especially at the top of this draft, because I think there's some good cornerbacks here, could drop to 18. Now, we'll get into our best of class and our, you know, our day one guys, day two, day three safeties. But I'll start here. Simon, do you think there's a possibility that one of these guys, let's say Patrick Surtain,
no,
Junior, drops to 18 and no, the Dolphins say, no, there's no way. We just got to take him.
Zero chance he drops to 18.
Okay. JC Horn?
Zero chance.
Whoa.
Horn, I go above Surtain.
Caleb Farley, I don't think he fits, but let's say he drops and somebody in the front office likes him. Do you think cornerback is a possibility at all at 18?
Schematically, he doesn't fit at all. And to be honest, I don't see it on tape. He's an analytics favorite who, to me, his ability doesn't match up to what I see on tape.
Okay. I just gave you my top three guys in the first round. I agree with you. Caleb Farley, he just doesn't fit. So you don't think that there's a way that they'll take a defensive back at 18? You don't think that that's a possibility?
No, I think they'll take a defensive back in the first three rounds, but it won't be in the first round and it won't be 18.
All right. Chris, do you see it? Like, could it happen? Like, could they dazzle us at 18 and just take a defensive back or maybe even a safety at 18?
No.
Okay.
Just simple, right. Simple. No, that's not happening.
I think by the grace of God, if one or two, because I think only two fit, Surtain or JC Horn drop to 18. I don't see how they're not the BPA at 18. So I think that they would be forced to take them at 18, unless there's a team that, you know, just says, you know, we need a cornerback badly and they give us a king's ransom for one. But I'll start it off here. Best in class. I don't think it's changed, in my opinion, for the last few months. Patrick Surtain, he's been groomed for this. If you know high school down here, he was recruited to play at St. Thomas Aquinas, decided not to go play over there. And yes, recruiting is illegal down here, but it happens in high school. And he decided to play under his father. And his father ushered him right into Alabama. I think he's been very, very good at Alabama. Very, very stiff hands. Of course, he has the great pedigree. You know, he breaks sharply for the wall. He's a willing for the ball. He's a willing tackler. He sees plays in zone, good in man. That's my best in class, Patrick Surtain. Simon, yours.
Yeah, he's the number one corner for me, but only just over JC Horn. I think Horn is a really, really good player. Ultra physical. He's long. He's athletic. What I love about Surtain is patience. He's got so much patience, and it's a real rarity. You know, he's got the great size. He's got the great movement skills, the bloodlines. He's battle-tested at the highest level. But the patience, to me, are just different class. He never looks uncomfortable at any point during the route. You know, he's aggressive. He's physical. He never panics. He's smooth. And he's played all over. He's played inside. He's played the star position that Minka Fitzpatrick played. I know his DB coach at Alabama, who coached Jalen Ramsey at FSU, said that he reminds him so much of Ramsey. I think it's probably a little bit of a stretch, but I think he's a really good player. I love Horn. I think he's a great player. I saw him, and in fact, Chris and I talked about him. Chris probably doesn't remember this, but back in when he was a freshman, he had four pass breakups in the end zone against Missouri. We talked about it on WhatsApp, and yeah, I love Horn. He's a great player. And then to me, Asante Samuel Jr., if he wasn't 5'10", 180, if he was 6'1", 205, you know, this is Jair Alexander 2.0. And the only thing stopping him from being a top 25 pick is the fact that his size. To me, he is a really, really good player. And he's a feisty ball hawk. He's got great speed, match up one-on-one with anybody. He's not an inside corner. He's an outside corner. I'm a big fan of Asante Samuel. They would be my top three corners. But I have a number of corners that I think are value on day one, probably five or six. But yeah, that would be my top three.
Chris, you're best in class.
I actually have to go with JC Horn on this over Surtain. I just think if you look at Surtain, what he was in college versus JC Horn, in college, I think you probably, I mean, the way JC Horn plays is very attractive to me, but if you know, the catches given up and the performance, you'd probably have to give the nod to Patrick Surtain. But I think we see over and over again in when it comes to these college players going into the NFL at this position in particular, it's a very unique position this way. The guys that couldn't cover anybody sometimes. End up NFL players and starters and, you know, playing a long time because they have phenomenal athleticism. And I think that it ends up being a very big deal at this position. And so JC Horn is a very good player on the field, very attractive, very physical. I love his athleticism and the way he moves and the attitude that he plays with. All of these are attractive traits at the next level. But in addition to that, he is a phenomenal athlete. He runs in the 4.3s. He's got a 41.5-inch vertical. And he's, you know, he's 11-foot broad jump, 11-foot broad jump. He's 6'1". He's 205 pounds. I mean, he's perfect. He's perfect that way. And I think that at the next level, that plays. And it's not that Patrick Surtain won't. I think, you know, that we're talking about two very good players. But we have to decide one over the other. And this is the one that I'm going to decide. I'm going to say that I would draft JC Horn top of all the corners in this draft. And then I would go for Patrick Surtain. And I don't really have a very good feel for, you know, the value of Caleb Farley. So, you know, I'd probably just punt there. But, you know, and really after that, I don't really see much that I love. I know some people love Eric Stokes, but, and again, this is one of those situations where, you know, sometimes Eric Stokes couldn't cover anybody.
I like his teammate better.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think Tyson Campbell was better. I think at times DJ Daniel was better.
Yeah, DJ Daniel.
But
and not Webb.
Yeah, but I think that you know, this is a guy with unbelievable athleticism, and you're not surprised all of a sudden he gets in the NFL and he's a far better player than he was in college. I think that happens all the time at the corner position, and so you got to prepare yourself for that. But I find it difficult to really get interested in the day two area. I do like Asante Samuel. Simon, I would chime in with you on that. He's always been a very attractive player, the way he plays the game. But at the same time, there are guys on day three that I know will be on day three, maybe even late on day three, that don't necessarily have less attractive physical characteristics than Asante Samuel and do also play with that. And so so I do wonder about the value on day two. I kind of wonder if I'm not getting Surtain or Horn, you know, if I should bother too much in the second or third round. I could be convinced, certainly. But yeah, that's where I am.
All right, Sammy, you seem to be, I don't know, I wouldn't say hot on this class, but you said five guys you can make a case for going in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, from my own personal point of view, I mean – look, the two top guys, then I have Asante Samuel. I then have Greg Newsome at Northwestern, who I think has got outstanding feet. I think he had a really good year. He's probably got the best footwork of anybody in the draft. He's coordinated, he's competitive, he's quick, he's feisty. He has 21 pass breakups in the last two seasons. He's quite inexperienced. He's never finished a full season because of injuries.
He has great ball skills. That's something you notice right away.
And then to me, look, I taught this guy up for 18 months. He is not going to go this high, but Keith Taylor of Washington is, to me, arguably the most underrated player in the entire draft. I think he is long. He's 6'3", 196. He's long, versatile. He's a man cover guy. He's got smooth, smooth movement skills. Again, what I talked about Surtain, no panic. He's got really nice feet. He stays in phase. And then he rocked up in Mobile and had a great week of practice, an outstanding game. But the downside is ball skills. His last pick came during his senior year of high school, and he played in every game at Washington over 4 years. The upside to that, he's incredibly smart. He's got a great football IQ. I really, really like him. I think he's a really, really interesting player. And there's, you know, day two guys, you know, Chris has talked up Kelvin Joseph, who's a good player. We talked about Stokes, obviously, Tyson Campbell, who played with Surtain, and Marco Wilson in high school. The guy who I absolutely love is Elijah Molden of Washington, who's Taylor's running mate, but he's the best pure slot in the draft. I mean, he's just a really good player. His dad was Alex Molden, who was taken 11th overall in the draft back in the year that Ray Lewis came out. I think Aaron Robinson, another interesting slot, Alabama transfer, played at UCF, is a really interesting player. Chris talked about DJ Daniel. There's some small school guys. Robert Rochelle of Central Arkansas is an interesting player, was on the Bruce Feldman freak list. Ambry Thomas at Michigan. I mean, he's a really good player. He's a solid sort of high floor bump and run corner. Paulson Adebo at Stanford is big, is long. I mean, to me, there's some really interesting players. And this is just day two, guys, with Ben St. Juiced. I know Chris likes Ben St. Juiced as well. And then you're looking at, you know, Kerry Vincent, the nickelback at LSU, is a really interesting player. Was a two-time state champion in the 200 meters. You know, you're gonna see somebody like Sean Wade will fall down to day three. Nation Wright of Oregon State, Brian Mills at North Carolina Central. So there's a lot of really interesting guys. But to me, someone like Keith Taylor is going to be really good value. I think we'll probably go on day two.
Yeah, speaking of day two, yeah, I love Tyson Campbell. Yes, he has stiff extension. When he extends his arms, he can reroute wide receivers. You know, I've been looking for, you know, the second coming of Aqib Talib, and I don't know if he is Aqib Talib, but, you know, he's a shot at Aqib Talib. He's long, lean, good in press. He recognizes routes well across his face, but he doesn't break on a lot of balls in zone, all right? And that's probably an issue, you know. And some scouts think that he's slow to react in off coverage, like he has issues in space. But I'll give you one guy, and I guess then we'll go to Chris on this. But, Simon, you could give me the front page on him. If I go to Molifanwu, do you think he plays safety at the next level, or do you think he's going to stay as a corner?
I think he'll probably get first look as a corner, if I'm honest. Okay. To me, he's an athlete playing football very much like his brother. you know, Obi Melifonwu is his brother, obviously second round pick of the Raiders. He's very, very similar physically. He's tall, he's long. But he's incredibly raw. I think ultimately he'll probably get worked at safety because he needs a lot of work on like route recognition, on footwork, and just overall technique. You know, he's got some intriguing skills, but I don't know. Look, he showed up at the Senior Bowl and people said, oh yeah, Melifonwu could be this tight end eliminator.
Yeah.
How often do we hear the term tight end eliminator? And it never
all the time.
You know, Isaiah Simmons was the latest tight end eliminator. It didn't happen. I think much like his brother, you just wonder if he's a great athlete in pads and a helmet rather than an NFL corner. I just don't see it.
All right, Chris, you're day two guys, and would you be hunting for one? Yeah, on day two.
Can I just say that my brain has left the building and I completely forgot about Kelvin Joseph?
Yeah, so, no worries, buddy. I got you back.
Yeah, because he's actually very, very borderline, if not outright day one for me. Kelvin Joseph, I think that he can be used anywhere in the secondary. And I think that you can think about putting him on the biggest receiving threat that you perceive on the other side of the field, particularly bigger guys. He did get, you know, who didn't? But Kyle Pitts did embarrass him a couple of times. But he's also the only guy that I've ever seen win the whole game against Devonta Smith. I've never seen anybody else do that. So I think that, you know, he's a good player. You mentioned Benjamin St. Juiced. That's a really good player. I think that he's – you look at the way he moves. You look at his length. He's 6'3". Didn't he run like an under 4 second shuttle or something like that? I mean, he's a good mover. He went and showed up at the Senior Bowl. I thought he played really well in the Senior Bowl. I thought, you know, he was very, I think Keith Taylor, as you say, Simon, he's a very good player. He played well at the Senior Bowl. He's very attractively built. And I wonder why he's not getting, as you know, more play than he is. You know, certainly you look at these two guys, St. Juiced or Keith Taylor versus a Tyson Campbell. And I think, you know, Tyson Campbell is a fine player. I like him. But you know, why is one rated so much, you know, higher than the others? That's what I wonder. Or as you mentioned, if Ifeatu Melifonwu, you know, why, I think Aaron Robinson's a pretty good player, but I kind of wonder if there's a little bit, excuse my language, a little bit of fuck up there in his game. I think that Trey Brown of Oklahoma, the more I watched him, the more I realized, you know, he's a very good football player, and he's just a good overall football player too. And I think that even though he's kind of smallish, and a lot of people are going to say, hey, well, you know, maybe he's just in a slot, you know, that's possible. Who knows, really, at the next level. I will just say that, you know, Bobby McCain has ended up a good player at the next level. I mean, he was also small and not supposed to, you know, be all that good because of that. If you look at, you mentioned tight end eliminators, and this is funny because it's like, if you look at Mike Gesicki when we played them, and you know who the Rams tight end eliminator was? It was Darius Williams, who's like 5'9". Yeah. You know, and I think everybody says it's gotta be this you know, this super lengthy or weird linebacker safety hybrid type guy, and in the end, you know, it's Darius Williams, little 5'9", 187 pound UAB blazer that was defending passes against Mike Gesicki, you know, passes that we thought he should have gotten, but you know, the guy just made good plays.
Yeah, I love Trey Brown. We talked about it during the Senior Bowl that, you know, Trey Brown, you know, he's kind of like a do-over on Bobby McCain. But let me ask you a question on Trey Brown. He's played outside his whole career. At the Senior Bowl, they had him doing drills inside the hashes with the linebackers and the safeties, which kind of tells you, okay, the scouts think he's probably a slot corner. Concerned there that he can pull it off?
No, it's just listen, they've seen him on the outside.
Yeah.
You know,
they want to try him there inside.
This is where the obvious is the obvious. Yeah, you look at his size and you're like, okay, I need to see him on the inside. And it's not because it's not necessarily like we've already concluded that he can't play on the outside. It's just that we've seen him on the outside, and his size and his profile kind of lends itself.
Yeah, and by the way, before people ask, that was Matt Rhule's coaching staff that started playing him inside, not Flores's coaching staff.
Right. And Benjamin St. Juice was on Flores's team, right?
I believe so.
He was, and I think that's, I really do think that's one to watch there. But Trey Brown, as you say, you know, the scouts probably are like, you know, hey, we need to see this guy inside. And there would be obvious reasons for that. So I think that, but I think he's a good player. And these are, a lot of these guys are day three guys that that we're thinking about. Calvin Joseph is day one, day two. But, you know, some of these guys that we're talking about, and Benjamin St. Juice, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in day two. But, you know, otherwise take a flyer on Trey Brown, or I take a flyer on Keith Taylor, one of these, there was another guy, but his name is escaping me, but yeah, there's a couple of those guys that I take a flyer on the day three.
Yeah. DJ Daniel is a guy who,
DJ Daniel.
That's right. Everybody has them day three. I guess we'll wrap up cornerbacks here. Simon, your day three guys, anybody we haven't covered, somebody we have to look at?
I don't think so. I mean, there's some really interesting slots. I mean, you look at Diomedore Lenoir, Thomas Graham at Oregon, Shaquille Brown, kind of interesting guys. I mean, they're not really for me, but Marco Wilson's an interesting kid. I mean, played alongside Pat Surtain and Tyson Campbell. Never really put it together completely, and obviously sort of probably most famous for chucking the shoe at the end of the LSU game to set up the game-winning field goal. You know, he's had a couple of ACL tears and some other injury issues, but he's ridiculously athletic. It's just he's maddeningly inconsistent if you watch his tape. And actually, he's kind of got progressively worse as a prospect because his best season was 2017, but he can run with anybody. He's got good hips. He just doesn't do enough of his talent, but if somebody can light a fire in him, I think he's a really interesting player. Darren Hall at San Diego State's a day three corner, very good blitzer, played well at the Senior Bowl. I like him. I think he's interesting. He can be a nickel. He can bring some sort of deep safety versatility as well. So yeah, there's some some decent players, even on day three. And I tell you, one guy to look out for is Avery Williams of Boise State. He's a former walk-on who ended up starting 44 games. And whilst he might get drafted as a pure corner, his return ability, he has 6 punt touchdowns and 6 kick return touchdowns. He is not a believer in fair catches. He's also a superb special teams cover guy. He's blocked multiple punts, both in high school and in college. He is a very, very interesting punt returner. His very first play at Boise, he returned a punt 81 yards for a touchdown. So, and actually at his pro day, he was asked to work out as a third down running back. So it'll be interesting to see. He's a sort of jack of all trades who could really add some juice on special teams.
All right, moving on to safeties. I got one guy in the first round, one day one guy, Trevon Moehrig. I'll start here, and I guess obviously that's my best in class, but I'll start here. Simon, do you think that they'll draft Bobby McCain's immediate replacement or future replacement in this draft?
It depends, I think. And I think if they did, it would be Javon Holland of Oregon. To me, he's the number one safety. He's a sort of safety nickel hybrid. I think he's just a phenomenal player. Elite ball skills, instinctive. He played an awful lot as a slot, but when you look at him at safety, you watch his tape at safety, he's just got a safety's brain, a safety's mindset. He reads the field really well. He's just got a really... I mean, I like Trevon Moehrig. I think he's a really good player. Holland's kind of suffered a little bit of that kind of out of sight, out of mind, because he opted out of 2020. Mm-hmm. But he is, you know, his ball skills and instincts are borderline elite from the deep safety position. He's a really good nickel corner as well. So, to me, Javon Holland is the best safety. Moehrig's a pure free safety. You know, he's a guy who can play single high, but he can also come down and play nickel, but not need to the level that Holland can. But yeah, to me, those are the two guys. And then Richie Grant of UCF would be the third.
Yeah, I got him on my list. I got like a few guys, but yeah, at the top of the draft, Moehrig, Richie Grant, intrigue. As far as replacing Bobby McCain right away.
There's one guy that I could see going into that mix, and that's Tyree Gillespie of Missouri.
Yeah.
He flashes like a high first rounder at times. I mean, you put on his tape against Florida and you put on his tape against Alabama, you know, he shut down to all intents and purposes Kyle Pitts. And then, I mean, he's Eddie Jackson. That's kind of who he is. Yeah, I mean, you watch him against Alabama. I mean, there's a particular drive where he has a pass breakup against Devonta Smith where he drives on the ball. He then comes from deep left safety position, comes across the field and tackles Jalen Waddle, running the alley, sort of evading 3 or 4 people to get to Jalen Waddle, holding him to a 1 yard gain. And then the next play he stuffs, and then later on in the drive, he stuffs Najee Harris short of the end zone on third and goal at the one. I mean, he is rangy as fuck. He's speedy. I talked about Keith Taylor as being underrated. Tyree Gillespie is another underrated player. He's just rangy, speedy. He can run the alley. He's a serious talent. I think he's a very, very interesting player.
All right, Chris.
And he ran a 4.38 at the Missouri Pro Day.
Yeah, that's the useful. The rest of his stuff, you know, supported it. It didn't just come out of nowhere.
Chris, question: best in class, and are they drafting Bobby McCain's immediate or future replacement in this one?
They're definitely going to draft a you know, kind of a corner safety kind of guy, and I think that's just because they're just going to keep it. This is a Bill Belichick thing. You just keep those coming. You know, yeah. You know, it's sort of like how some people have say you draft a quarterback every year. Well, you know, in Bill Belichick's teams, and this will go to Miami as well, you just keep drafting defensive backs. And I think that's going to happen with Miami. I think that they're going to get somebody. It's going to be somebody that we're going to look at and say, you know, they've got a lot of versatility.
Yeah.
And you know, the guy that have versatility, you know, we've seen them, we've talked about it. I think Richie Grant does have some versatility. I think, James Wiggins, Cincinnati, he's got versatility, corner safety versatility. Tyree Gillespie, you kind of stole my, that's a guy that's really a guy to watch out for. You know, Damar Hamlin is a guy to watch out for. I think that there's Divine Diablo is going to be a guy to watch out for, not because not because he's you know, corner safety kind of hybrid, but you know, for different reasons. I think that he's a bigger safety with, you know, fantastic athleticism, and can really be used up front and across different roles. And Miami, I think, explored that with him a lot in the Senior Bowl. So that's,
he's Cam Chancellor, isn't he?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, he really is. He's got that kind of size and an athletic profile. And
he also has a brother. He also has a brother that took exception to me calling one of his plays, you know, during the Senior Bowl. So he has an active Twitter following.
He also has 739 special team snaps.
Yeah.
And he's an outstanding punt gunner.
You know, and you could kind of look across the game, the Senior Bowl game, and also the practices. You could kind of see some players that, like, you look at the way Miami, you look at the snap counts, you look at the snaps that they got, the place they had in the rotation, and, you know, stuff like that. You could tell that Miami was getting stronger looks at some of these guys. I think Divine Diablo was one of those guys. Yeah,
Damar Hamlin's the other, isn't he? The Pitt kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
2,500 snaps. I think. Yeah, he's a converted corner.
Yeah, I watched every single practice. As did you, Chris? Right? I think you watched. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, and I give it to you, Simon. So I'm pretty sure you did too. So
I did. Yeah.
Damar Hamlin was made captain on day one of practice.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? Okay. And by the way, he's made captain by Brian Flores. All right. Then, of course, Senior Bowl day comes and the game comes. He gets an interception. He pops up with the ball. And who's giving him a high five, smiling ear to ear, giving him a hug? Brian Flores. There's something going on there. So obviously you got to watch him. Right. But, and we've talked about him before. I guess you could talk about him a little bit here. But what about his teammate, Paris Ford, Simon?
Yeah. I mean, Paris Ford will go undrafted. Now, he ran a 4.98. You know, you don't get drafted if you run a 4.98. I mean,
you know,
did he have a broken leg?
Simon,
did he have a broken leg?
You got to look at that entire Pittsburgh Pro Day, though. Just look at it all across the board. I mean, gravity was working overtime in Pittsburgh that day. I swear to God, Lord. Or maybe they were all out at the same party the night before. I don't know. But there was something going on with that entire pit pro day. Mm. And Paris Ford just that's one of the worst things I've ever seen, actually.
It's a horrendous time.
It is horrendous. And what's his name? You know, we like Damar Hamlin is faster than 4.6 to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what he got at that pro day. I mean, you look at some of the guys. As Jalen Twyman was not very impressive. I think he's better than that. You know, I think there's some, I don't know, something was happening that day. I don't know if they were running on a bad surface or what. Certainly Paris Ford is not a guy who runs as, you know, being what he was at Pitt. He's not an offensive lineman in the secondary. You know, that's
no.
So
yeah, you don't run around all over the place hitting people, smacking people.
Yeah.
He plays with a lot of enthusiasm too. Like, you know, he's a rah-rah guy. There's no way he runs a 4.9. 4.7 maybe.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think that you're right. I think Damar Hamlin's a guy you watch because of Miami. I think, as I said, Divine Diablo because of the way they got on with these players. You know, somebody on the other side of the field who got the best, I think he got the best safety award, or, you know, the players that were faced him were voted him that. And that's Christian Uphoff of Illinois State. I think he's a strong player. I think he's big. I think he can move. I think he's an interesting guy for day three to look at. You know, I didn't even really talk about the top, but that's because the top honestly doesn't excite me that much. I don't really. I watched Javon Holland probably three of his games, and I didn't really. I didn't get it. You know, honestly, like why is he? Why am I supposed to take him in the first round? Why am I? You know, why am I really coveting this? Trevon Moehrig, you know, again, nice player, but like I kind of wonder if he's more of a two deep safety, you know, or split safety. And those are honestly, you know, depending on the system, they can be a dime a dozen. You know, Andre Sisco, no. Please? No. yeah, Hamza
Hamza Nasruddin.
Yeah, I blame that on the echo in here that sits very spacey.
Of course,
he can actually be interesting.
Yeah, I think he's very interesting.
He can be a pretty good player. I think you just don't really start to get interesting value to me until you get into day three, really, with the safety class.
All right. Now, this guy, I had to ask about him because, you know, among all the names that we get thrown onto the 3 yards per carry account, this name was thrown around a lot during the season. We kind of determined that he can't play corner, so obviously he's going to be a safety. What kind of safety he's going to make? Sean Wade of Ohio State. Simon, have at it. I know you didn't like him during the season.
Yeah, I mean, he just had a really poor season. I mean, the issue with Wade was that he'd obviously played nickel before and played at a decent level. And he had to kick outside. That was the biggest question. You know, his season was one of the most interesting because he opted out and probably would have gone in the first two rounds if he stayed out. To his credit, he went back and just really struggled outside. The gamble failed. And, you know, nowhere more so than in the national championship where he was just absolutely taking apart the seams. People talk about being a safety. He's never played safety, really. He's played a few snaps for Ohio State, but not very many. What is he? He's tough, he's aggressive, but he couldn't flip his hips and run outside. You know, you watch him, there are times in nickel, you watch him against Indiana, against Wap Filia in 2019. I mean, Filia just takes him apart in the nickel. So what happens to the stock of a pure nickel cornerback with some special teams and safety potential? I mean, to me, he falls into day three, and there's stuff to work with. But I don't think he's going to be the prospect that people thought he was going to be.
Chris?
What you said.
That's fair. All right. I guess we could finish up here. Any day three guys we haven't touched on, Simon, that you want to...
Yeah, I mean, I really like Caden Stearns, although I think he'll go on day two. The Texas safety is a pure free safety. I like him a lot. I think he's a really good player. He's just injured a lot. That would be the concern with me for Stearns. But he's a nice player. And then just a couple of sort of off-the-radar guys. We talked about Damar Hamlin, who's a good player. Chris talked about James Wiggins, who I really like. I like Rich LeCount of Georgia. I think he's got some talent. And then Tariq Thompson of San Diego State is kind of a safety nickel. He started 47 games, 3,000 snaps. He's not fast or athletic overly, but he's always around the ball, both run and pass. He's rangy. He's got good length. He diagnoses really quickly. And he's got great instincts and ball skills. 12 picks, 7 forced fumbles in those 3,000-plus snaps. He's just a high-floor day three player who's going to contribute for somebody for a decade. And then Chris obviously mentioned Diablo. The other guy is Jamar Johnson of Indiana, who's a bit inexperienced, but he had 2 picks against Justin Fields last year. He works as a single high safety or from the nickel. And he's not, again, he doesn't have great top-end speed and he doesn't have great elite sort of athletic traits, but he's instinctive, he's smart, and he's really, really good in coverage. He's just a versatile guy. He's going to make an early impression on special teams and sub-packages. He's, a couple of interesting guys.
Yeah, and a Twitter listener wanted me to ask you about this guy. I don't think – I told him he's not a fit because I think he's more of a cover two guy. But Eric Burrell of Wisconsin, your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, he's not for me, Clive, as we'd say over here. I mean, I don't think he gets drafted, frankly. So,
yeah, I would say so too. I was just asked. It's probably his brother that asked me because Divine Diablo's brother actually did, you know, hook up with our 3 yards per carry account to tell me he would make a fine special teams player here in Miami.
Which he will. Which he will.
Absolutely will. He could be an all-pro special teamer.
Is it fair that we've not once mentioned, Talanoa Hufanga or Hufanga of USC? I mean,
again, not for me, Clive. And the really? Injuries. I mean, 2 broken right collarbones.
Oh, I know the injuries. Definitely.
A seriously sprained right shoulder, 2 surgeries, a concussion, and none of that's helped by his play style. I mean, he's you love to have him on your team because he, you know,
has there ever been a safety from USC that wasn't good?
Yeah. Taylor Mays.
Good yes. one. Great there one. Very nice.
I mean,
and that was quick too. That was quick too, Simon. Very well done.
Medicals are an absolute mess. You know, I think he's a ball magnet. He's a physical box safety. He's a kind of alley protector. He's instinctive. He's got a great football brain. He's that kind of see it, hit it, you know, but he's also a see it, hit it, get knock the fuck out, which is not really what you need. I mean, you know, the background is, you know, the background is great. You know, Polynesian high school player of the year, prep star, dream team, max prep All-American. His brother played linebacker at Oregon State. His cousin is the two Palutu brothers who play at USC. He was a five-star wide receiver and safety in high school. He was the number one rated high school prospect in the history of Oregon. But the injuries just frighten the shit out of me.
All right, Chris, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No, that was kind of it. I mean, I understand the injuries, but you know, he's a pretty good player on the field. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, to run down the entire safety group and not mention, I mean, because he's been a talented player.
He's talented.
And, you know, somewhere on day three that somebody's going to say, well, let's roll the dice on those injuries. And I think that, you know, that's a fair thing. And I think Caden Stearns is a good shout. Yeah. You know, watch a little bit of him when you're watching the guy that Miami drafted last year.
Yeah.
So you know, I think that's an interesting play.
He ran 4.40.
Yeah. Otherwise,
jumped 42 inches at the Texas Pro Day. You know, he's a
great athlete. Yeah.
We have a lot of Gator listeners. We have a lot of Gator fans that are listeners of ours. And I told this guy that he wasn't going to get drafted. Sean Davis. Was I right, Simon?
Oh, Sean Davis. Yeah.
He's kind of a late sort of, he's a priority free agent, seventh round guy. I didn't even write him up in the magazine, in the book, to be honest. Ouch. That's probably, sorry, Sean.
All right. I guess we could end it here, and I guess we're bringing the draft guide almost to a close because next week we're just talking linebackers and we start doing our in-podcast mock drafts, start thinking about what to do with 6 and 18 and possibly 36. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.